This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Morena, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shabnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Chino Gonzalez. And I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Arpita Das, who is joining us online all the way from Wellington. Kia ora and welcome, Arpita.
Tēnā koutou katoa, kia ora, namaste, and thank you both. It's awesome to be here, and it's taken us some time, but it's unbelievable that we're doing this. Very honored and privileged. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. The honor is all ours to have you here. We'll get straight into it. When you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up, Arpita?
Depending on the day of the week, different things. So I wanted to be an oceanographer at one point. I wanted to be a teacher at one point. I also wanted to be a writer at one point because I come from a family of writers. And a lot of things, but I think all of them were something to do with people and nature or both. I definitely at age 10 wanted to be an oceanographer.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome. Still a bit of life left for that.
Hopefully.
All right. I'd love to know where you're originally from and what brought you to Aotearoa.
Okay. So I am, and I think that's where the belonging is important, right? So ethnically, I'm from the northeastern part of India, from the state of Assam, which incidentally just shares 3% of its land borders with India, but 97% of its borders internationally. So we have Bhutan, Nepal, China, Myanmar, and Bangladesh as our borders. So I'm from there. But I was born in Bombay, which is the commercial capital of India. I then have lived in Calcutta, in Delhi, in Rajasthan, in UP. I've done my university in Delhi and my PhD in Bombay. So in a sense, I'm as diverse as most Indians can be. And I moved to Aotearoa in 2016. So next year, it'll be 10 years. It was because I wanted to join my husband, but also, interestingly enough, it was a decision which took me quite a long time from the time we kind of got formally married to coming here. So, I think we wanted to see, but I was also, it was one of those decisions which I think for a lot of life-changing decisions, well thought out. And also with the caveat that if it doesn't work out, you know, I'm going back. So it was an open-ended decision, if I can put it that way.
Well, it's really good to see that you're still here with us.
Yes.
Let's talk about belonging through employment. What do you think is the biggest employment challenge for migrants in Aotearoa?
Acceptance. That is the very first thing, and acceptance at multiple levels. So acceptance for being seen as a professional for who you are, acceptance in the most practical things of having your qualifications recognized. So the number of hoops that you have to pass through to get your qualifications accepted. Can I also say it's a pretty expensive process to get NZQA things done, but most importantly, for seeing you as an equal, as a professional, so you could have done work on, for example, huge data sets, you know, wherever it is you came from. But the fact that you do not have New Zealand experience, and I think that is something all of us are very familiar with, no matter what sort of employment you go in for, becomes problematic. And I think that is the biggest barrier for not being accepted. Then once you kind of, you know, get a foot in the door, then it is being accepted for who you are as a person at the workplace. And that, I think, is still a journey a lot of us are on. And I can give an example here. So, you know how you have to get English language qualifications. I was quite pleasantly surprised when they said, oh, you know, if you have a level 10 qualification, which is a PhD and above, you don't need to go through the English language exam, testing exam. Yeah. And I told immigration, they said, but no, you don't have that level 10 qualification from the Five Eyes country. So yes, you have to go through that exam. So the fact that there is a clear difference in how a level 10 qualification and also the system, within the system. So one part of the system accepts your PhD, but another part of the system doesn't. And I mean, it's definitely pretty oriented towards certain geographies and not for 3/4 of the world. I would sum it up as acceptance.
How have these challenges affected you personally?
They definitely affect you because it's taking a lot of steps backward, because even to succeed, and I say that very subjectively, in a country like India, more than 1.2 billion people, is not easy. You face tremendous levels of competition at every level from the time you get into school and college, university and so on. So I think once you kind of reach a place which is your happy place, to give that up, restart it, it's pretty soul destroying. And for the kinds of reasons that you are given, even without people realizing what is it that you've accomplished and come from. So I think it is pretty soul destroying. But I am inherently a pretty optimistic person. So I always tend to pivot off what is it that I can do. And I think that level of resilience, and I completely acknowledge that isn't for everyone, nor is it something that can be banked upon if there are a whole lot of other factors which are working against you in your journey to get here. So I have used that as a way to kind of counter and say, I'll show you what I can do and what I can actually, in a sense, do better than what you know, but do it empathetically. So I've lent into a lot of resilience. I've also dealt with it in a way of customizing what I need to. I think the easiest example of that is a CV, because I was just used to a CV, a curriculum vitae, or a resume being really short and to the point of 1 and 2. And I went out to people and I asked, I was like, what is it that's not working? And they're like, oh, you need to have at least 3 to 4 pages of CV, which honestly to me seemed irrelevant. But I was like, fine, we'll do what it demands. One thing I have not done, which I've gotten advice for, is to change my preferred name. So change my name to a more acceptable sounding name. And that I have refused to do, because I think that that clashes with my value system big time. And because I was initially, in fact, I lived in Auckland. So I think Auckland, there were a lot more opportunities to also draw from the community collectives, obviously such as Belong. But it's way more diverse. You have a lot more groups who organize a lot of coffee meetings and catch-ups. And people are very generous with their time, even within libraries and stuff, when they do career, you know, CV workshops and stuff. So I've done a lot of that. But I've also held fast to certain things that I haven't done.
Looks like in India, you already were on a journey before you came to New Zealand. Do you feel like you had to start from scratch into another path or something?
Partly yes, partly no. I think if I talk purely in terms of skills, I had a lot of those skills, so it was actually customizing more of those. So no, but yes, in terms of starting what, you know, my career within the area that I work in now, I had to start from the scratch, because like I said previously, there was no acceptance or recognition of all the body of work that I had done previously. So in the workplace, in terms of roles and titles that I've had to start from the scratch. Yes.
That's a story a lot of us migrants carry behind on our shoulders, don't we? Why do you think it's important to share these stories, Arpita?
Primarily, geopolitically, we are a Pacific country and we are an Asian Pacific country. And I think it's very important for people here to know and remember and recognize that. And it needs to be seen in the context of people being who they are. We are Asians. We are Asian Pacific countries, right? So we cannot be expected to be who we are not, which is Europeans or North Americans. And I think it's very important to remember that. Number two is we bring a lot of experience, skills, work-wise, human being-wise, of a lot of geopolitical realities of where we are from. And those are way more relevant to the New Zealand context than a lot of things that we aspire to be, which I don't think need to be an aspiration at all. You know, it's a changing world order. And the third thing is equally important for me is for people to not lose hope. I think it's important for people to not lose hope, because it can be, look, it can be a very, very lonely. It can be a very, like I said, soul shattering. It can absolutely corrode your confidence when you get 50 rejections in a matter of a week. And you think, you know, you're never going to make it. And with all the other things that you might be facing, a changing climate, you know, everything is different. The food is different and stuff. And all of those add up. And I think people can go into very dark places. And I think it's important for us to share our stories. And can I say, particularly as women, to know that it can be done. Things can improve. And it's not going to be easy. It never gets easier, but then it is possible, and that we can do that holding on to our own. We don't need to give up completely on who we are. So I think a lot of macro in terms of realizing that we are in the Asia Pacific, but a lot of micro for not giving up who we are, because that is what is going to enrich, you know, the situation that we are in.
How do you think a connected community can help your existence in a new country in regards to employment?
Showing you the possibilities, showing you the realities, and also telling you ground truths. Like I said, the whole CV thing. I wouldn't have known if someone wouldn't have told me. Or very simple, we are a very networked country, right? It's a two-degree society that gets repeated very often. And there are good things about it being a two-degree society, because, you know, there are openings, there are things that are happening, which may not be, for whatever reason, advertised through formal channels, but which can be your entry point, which can be someone's entry point. And also a sense of belonging, where you think there are a lot of things when you're new and it's playing in your mind. It's a good and a safe space to share what you're going through. And I think equally important, once you've, while I won't say you've kind of reached, I don't think there's anything like a final success point, but once you think you've overcome the worst, it's very important to stay connected, because you have so many lessons, and just being you can be such a source of inspiration to others who are on the journey. So it is a journey, as I see it. So whatever you learn, you kind of try and give it back. And that's how you keep the door open and, you know, let others not have to go through all that you've gone.
Amazing, Arpita, very profound. Let's talk about where you are now. Do you think you have achieved a sense of belonging?
I have a son who, you know, was born here 2 years ago. So I think that definitely gives me a sense of connection, which is very different from how it was when I came here. But also because I play a big part in local Wellington community. So whether it's my local toy library, or it's talking to a group of seniors at the community center. I sit on the board of two charitable organizations. And this is all in addition to my routine day job, as they say, or routine work. And all of that does give you a sense of belonging. But I think for a lot of us who are all two culture or multicultural people, in that sense, it expands our sense of belonging. You don't necessarily need to give up one to feel the other. You can actually carry a lot of worlds within you. So for me, the sense of belonging has expanded to include Aotearoa.
Do you think your work has played a part in you finding your belonging here in Aotearoa?
Most certainly, because, you know, when you spend 8 hours of day at work, 40 hours a week. It's a big part of who you are, and it definitely gives you a sense of purpose. So it's definitely lent on. But like I said, I've always tried to expand my work to include a lot of my voluntary commitments. And I think those equally have given me a sense of belonging, much like as I'm talking to you now, the sense of sharing that belonging and the sense of also expanding that belonging. So all of it, shared understandings, I think, is how I would see it.
You have highlighted some very good issues that we've talked about at the beginning of the interview. What do you think are some of the steps that we can take to address these issues? A piece of advice, maybe?
I think recognizing that there are a lot of avenues, and it's just about finding those avenues. Again, having lived in Auckland, I think given the sheer size of community groups there, a lot of it is available and very easily. I have struggled a bit with that in Wellington to find those avenues. And I think it's even more difficult if you're in a regional kind of place, maybe far more remote. So So I think it is sharing that information, but also being available for any avenues that come by. Simple things like which website has what information is very good to know. And all the information might be there, but unless and until you know about the website, it's of no use, right? So I think it's important for those of us who've made or use of certain resources to pass on, like you say, pass the mic. I think pass on the information and kind of take up any opportunity to correr also. It can be someone who reaches out via LinkedIn or whatever social media. I think make the time, take out those 30 minutes because it can be life-changing for someone else. And I strongly believe in that.
Speaking of community, do you think there is value in putting your hand up volunteering for the community?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very important part of who I am and as a person. And I think, I don't know, maybe sometimes I take on too much as a mom of a toddler. but also, I think the amount of learnings and how much I grew as a person when I, you know, give my time to the community and skills to the community. And Katrina and I were just talking in terms of how they've set up Voice of Aroha completely, you know, for 3 years through volunteering. So I think that speaks a lot. And every year when we have volunteer recognition day or volunteering, you know, New Zealand does it. It's one of the things I admire about this country of how much people give up
yes.
voluntarily. And it could be a bake sale at a school, or it could be something as large as being a life-saving surf guard or voluntary fire people. And I think it's amazing how much people do. So that I'd always wanted to do it. And I think coming here, I've gotten a lot of opportunities to do that. Big part of who I am.
That's awesome. Is there a place where people can go out and ask for the help where, you know, they're pointed to the correct networks or resources?
Yes, depending on what kind of assistance it is that you're looking for. So if, for example, we all know of Citizens Advice Bureau, I think they're a great resource to have. Things might have changed. I've not been in Auckland for a long time now, but I would say very, very active. But for the kind of resources that they have, they really make a huge impact on people's lives. So anything from, you know, social support to financial to even justice and things like that. And interestingly enough, a lot of people, irrespective of their immigration status, go to Citizens Advice Bureaus. Very important. I think give you a lot of information. That is one. The other one, again, from a volunteering point of view, I think obviously the Volunteering New Zealand site, but you also have a website called Do Good Jobs. That place lists a lot of volunteer roles, including, that's how I got on the one of the boards that I sit on, through Do Good Jobs. Then you have Community Governance, who also showcase a lot of jobs, including for boards and trusts. And honestly, I think there are groups also on Facebook, which are pretty good for connecting you to community thing. Another forum who are very good are community networks, and they have regional. So Community Networks Wellington, for example, meet not 100% on this, but second or third Wednesday of every month. And that's a place where all your local community organizations come through. So those are forums. There are job fairs that Careers New Zealand organize for a more kind of formal employment. And I would say, you know, if you really want to know what's happening, sometimes even the local supermarket jobs board, even today, is a really, really good place to have. And once you find kind of, you know, think of it as an octopus, which is my son's favorite toy at the moment. So, you know, sorry for the comparison, but think of it as an octopus with tentacles. Once you've kind of got onto one, automatically opens up a lot of avenues and a lot of opportunities. So depending on what you are, but I would say at the very basic, Citizens Advice Bureau, huge, huge service that they provide and usually can link you to a whole lot of other places.
That's wonderful, Arpita. You're here sharing your story with us today. And of course, when you're out there doing your volunteer work or at work, you hear a lot of stories from others as well. Do you believe that there's a healing process when you share your stories with each other?
Totally. And I think it is particularly if you think of it not necessarily as being introverted, but being unsure of the new environment, or you might have been in this environment for ages, but not really kind of had opportunities to engage. It's very good. You can share stories, you can listen to stories, and there's a lot of healing even in the listening process. There's a lot of healing in the sharing process, but there's also a lot of healing in the listening process. So I think, and we all come from communities where a lot of our knowledge is passed on through stories, particularly for, you know, more oral cultures, but a lot of them, that's how we convey a whole lot of senses of values, even recipes and things, and they're passed on through stories. So I think stories are life-changing. Saying them or sharing them, yes, even listening to them. And it's a very cozy, I think when you say a story, it brings to mind a very cozy feeling, because it reminds you of somewhere where you were safe and you were loved. And I think that's very important in a story sharing context.
That is wonderful, because then at the end of it, you kind of start feeling like you belong somewhere, correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So what would you like to see different moving on from here? What would you like to see different for yourself and others in your position, Arpita?
I would definitely want the struggle to be less for anyone who's coming in. I think we've gone through enough of phases where we've identified what the issues are and what the problems are. What we don't focus enough is actioning the solutions. And I think those solutions need to be actioned sooner and now. There's no scope for later. And I think now is the time that needs to be actioned. For me personally, I think once that initial ground has been equalized, in a sense, the going gets easier. And I truly believe that, you know, even if I don't kind of reap the benefits of a more equalizing environment, I don't believe it's a lost cause, because it is important for a lot of others who are coming after to get the benefits of that. So it's always the case, isn't it, that someone does the hard work and someone goes through the struggles, and that is what informs what is going to come later. So, like I said, I'm an inherently optimistic person. So I really think that it's not about me, but I would definitely want for anyone else who's in the journey right now not to have to go through all those struggles and have it a little bit easier, and then a little bit easier for the person after that. And that's how it becomes a process. And that's how eventually when you look back, you've covered a lot of journey. When you're in it, it doesn't feel like that. So, you know, that's my sincere hope, that it goes that way.
We are almost coming towards the end of our interview. You are involved with a lot of community work out there. Are there any projects that you're currently involved with that you'd like the listeners to know about?
So I am a Kaitiaki for community research. And, you know, I'm happy to share the links with the both of you later on. But we are very unique because we promote research that's undertaken in the communities. And we have special collections. So we have special collections for housing issues in Aotearoa. We also are trying to get more and more ethnic researchers to upload their research work. So we have also what is known as What Works. We also do podcasts. Highly recommend that people go on to communityresearch.org.nz and podcasts, which can be listened to at any time. Our team works incredibly hard to put up those podcasts. We did a fantastic podcast before we went off for the Christmas holidays with four very, very well-informed and well-regarded ethnic researchers. Highly recommend. But share the research, because our focus is getting research which is from the community, not necessarily from academia. I mean, that's welcome, but the community voices. And I think there's a lot within health, housing, you know, safety and things like that, there's a lot of stories to be shared.
Before we end the interview, is there anything else you'd like to say to people listening in today?
It does get better. In the moment, doesn't feel like it, but it definitely gets better. And I think keep the connections alive, because if you want to belong, you also have to be willing to give. So it has to be a reciprocal process. And be generous. Be generous at all times, when you probably feel that you have nothing, if you can. And when at one point where you definitely know you've something to share, I think be generous. So it does get better. But remember, when it does get better, you share it on and remain generous.
Well, that all sounds amazing, and thank you for your wonderful work. And that brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic podcast episode. Thank you very much for joining us, Arpita.
Thank you so much. It was such a lovely experience. I was just telling Kodrena, it's like I haven't written down anything because I just wanted to be, a good story sharing session. And it's been amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, not a problem. It has been awesome sharing this space with you today. We wish you a wonderful day ahead. Thank you to all listening in. And with that, we are out. Namihi. Kakite ano.
Kakite.
That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
Community Access. Radio every way you want it. On planetaudio.org.nz.
I can't say if this feeling coming over me is real, but I know it's something you can't steal. So I'll buy another problem to approach. Sell a virgin lie that can't be touched, and so I fall again. So I fall again. So I break through this rotten piece of wood again. Should be dropped, but I know.
104.6 Planet FM, making connections with your community every day. With funding support for New Zealand On Air.
Let's rock the house. You got to get down.